Serve mom the best for Mother's Day with USDA Prime Filet Mignon and North Atlantic Lobster Tails, plus ready-made sides from the Fresh Market. Discover more delicious ways to make mom's day, from brunch favorites to beautiful blooms, at the Fresh Market near you.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello, and welcome to another Soccer to the Max. Yeah, we've kind of had a little bit of an unintended break, but we're back, and hopefully back on schedule as the National Women's Soccer League has kicked off. They're technically in week four now, and might as well do our better than never preview for the season and talk about what's been happening in the first 3 weeks. There is going to be no Major League Soccer on this show, so I'm sorry if that's a big deal for you while you listen to us. But hey, I would tell you that we have an awesome, I'd call it brother podcast because it's two wonderful guys to do it. Matt Pollard, of course, my former podcast co-host, being one of them. The Last Word SC podcast is great over on Last Word on Soccer that you can go listen to for your latest on MLS to keep it in the same family here. But yeah, so this is an NWSL, and of course the U.S. Women's National Team is, they kind of got the roster already announced, but officially it's being announced later today at like 1 p.m. I don't know if there's going to be too many surprises, but who knows? We're going to get to talk about that too. And of course, I am not here by myself. The lovely Rachel McCrigger is here as well.
You're not going to think I'm so lovely after this show.
Well, we are talking a lot about your favorite person.
Ugh.
That might contribute to things. And, well, Eric, at least we don't have to talk about some of your favorite people for this show.
Ben and Don, consider yourselves spared for now. Jill, not so much.
We'll still have to broach Rachel's favorite subject of expansion at some point when we talk about MLS again.
How many times am I going to say ugh in this show today?
I'll set the beginning number at six.
Lowballing it.
Yeah, that's a really low ball. I'm sure we'll at least double that by the time the show is over.
Look, so, I'm trying to give some overbetters an easy one to start things out. You build confidence. That's how you do.
Be super confident that there's going to be way more than that. People betting. Either way, let's start with the big topic because, look, the Women's World Cup is pretty close. We are, 2 months away? Almost a month away?
A month and a week.
Oh, man, that's going to go by faster than you think, and we're already going to be like at the World Cup, you know, next time you really think about it. So this is why the team has to be named 5 weeks from, and pretty much they named a lot of the players thanks to a special thing on Hulu. So 21 out of the 23 and a report by the Soccer Insider himself kind of is letting you know the last two that could be in it. So if we include those two names, the 23 that is looking pretty likely at this point is Alex Morgan, Sam Mewis, Alyssa Nair, Kelly O'Hara, who's coming back from the injury, Kristen Press, Mallory Pugh, Megan Rapinoe, who's also battling an injury as well, Becky Sauerbrunn, Ashlyn Harris, Lindsay Horan, Jessica McDonald, Allie Long, Carly Lloyd, much to Rachel's chagrin, Rose Lavelle, Tobin Heath, Adriana Franck, Julie Ertz, Crystal Dunn, Tierna Davidson, Abby Dahlkemper, Emily Sonnet, and Also, Ellie Krieger and Morgan Bryan are going to be Jill Ellis's 23 for the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. Rachel, what do you think?
Oh, what do I think? Well, Jesus, where do I start? The goalkeepers were all really, like, that was pretty much set in stone. Like, there was the possibility maybe it could be Jane Campbell over Adriana Franch, but I don't think that was ever going to happen. The defenders, I mean, yeah, cool, whatever. Crystal Dunn's still going to be a defender, even though she scored 4 goals for the North Carolina Courage already this season, and they've all been really good goals. And Kelly O'Hara, who is probably going to be injured during the friendlies, is still going to go to the World Cup because, you know, why pick a different defender whenever you pick a defender who has been on the pitch maybe 8 times in the last year and a half? Yeah, okay, Jill. In the midfield, again, Rose Lavelle, who has been injured for the last 2 years, gets a spot over certain people. And, of course, you know, Morgan Bryan, who in and out, and always inconsistent, she gets called in over McCall Zerboni, which is just absurd to me. And going back to the defense, the fact that Emily Sonnet got called in over Casey Short, I am rage. I am so rageful right now. And at forward, I mean, all of that was pretty self-explanatory. Carly Lloyd is going to probably do well at the international level, even though she's terrible at the club level. And everyone's just going to make me mad, and they're going to get knocked out in the early stage of the group round. And it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun, even though I'm mad. We're going to have fun.
Wait, you don't think they'll make it out of the group now?
Oh, wait. Did I say the group round? I meant the knockout round. Oops.
I was going to say bold prediction from Rachel already.
I was going to say, Chile is going to be the other team. No, they're going to make it out of the round. Unless Chile finds, like, their own, like, Marta on, like, steroids. Yeah, they're going to make it out of the group stage, but I don't think they're going to make it far in the knockout rounds. And at this point, I hope they don't.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Ellie. The cool thing for Ellie Krieger is at least if she gets on the field, she'll get her 100th cap at the World Cup, if not in some of the friendlies beforehand, which that could happen because she probably wants to. I'd assume Jill would probably want to play, give at least most of the players a shot in those friendlies beforehand. But
boy, I hope she starts her over Sonnet. I can't stand Sonnet.
Well, Eric, I mean, I think Rachel's pretty spot on who to be kind of upset about. Anything stand out to you?
I mean, I predicted this watching the one friendly. I was texting you two about it, and I was explaining everything to my mom about Carly Lloyd, her situation, everything going on in Sky Blue. There's no way that she could make an impact to get a call. Oh, wait, she scored a goal. Oh, wait, she's scoring another header. Well, crap, that seals it. It's like, I don't know, Jill is telegraphing everything, which, okay, I get that you're trying to get some sort of stability. Fantastic. But everybody else is caught up, and if I'm sitting here seeing it as a relative layman, you know, the women who play, those who coach, those who deal with this on a professional level and World Cup opponents, you don't think they'll be seeing this too? I mean, come on. It'll be a fantastic group stage, and then everybody can get drunk in commiseration when we're out at the round of 16.
I mean, that's very possible to happen. if not the 16, the 8, depending on who you got, you know. But still, you know, as we've noted several times, you know, these teams, international teams, are starting to catch up to the U.S. We've seen it in the She Believes Cup. They didn't get the magic of last year, but certainly some of these teams certainly made them look bad. And that could very well be the case for them at the World Cup when they get past their group. And if you think about it, looking at, you know, this being May 1st when we're recording this, you have what, most of these players, what are they probably going to let them play like one more week or two more weeks with their teams before they
They're done with their teams? Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to be in a camp, and then whatever friendlies they play, that's it. So, if we're going off of, obviously, NWSL is continuing until the two-week World Cup break, but, you know, let's think about it for a little bit here. If you look at these first 3 weeks of the season, some of these players that are on form right now maybe have a better shot at claiming they should be in there instead of some of the others. What I will say for, let's say, a Kelly O'Hara at least, is that when she's on, there's not a lot of players that can still beat her. If she can recover from her injury, I don't think that's a bad call. Maybe you don't start her, but to be able to bring her off the bench and surprise teams, I don't think that's the worst thing possible. I think Rose is a bigger issue because your injury concerns, and not just that, just very inconsistent. Like, there's times where she just absolutely just disappears in a game, and you don't even know that she's there, and you can't have that in the World Cup. You got to have your players that are on form, gonna play for you, and do that well, especially once you get through the knockouts, because that's a one game. It's one game at a time. You have enough players that aren't playing well, you're going to get beat on the day. So,
and especially when you get to the fact is with what Rose Lavelle, as you mentioned, injuries are one thing. But when you have your injuries at this time of her career to where they've stunted her growth to the extent that they have, and you see that inconsistency, you're almost talking like a perfect storm that's saying you need time, months, maybe a full season, get healthy, see what you can really do and what's really left and where you could really go from. Being in a World Cup like this, I think that's going to potentially do more harm than good, both for the team and for Rose herself going forward.
Yeah, the Morgan Bryan one's a big head scratcher. Right, Rachel? Like, she's done, like, pretty much nothing and then gets put on the team.
I mean, her and Lavelle, too. I mean, I don't think they've done much at the club level to warrant being on a World Cup roster. I hate to make the comparison, and all of the fangirls will come after me for this, but, like, look at the U.S. men's national team. If they don't play on their club team, they're not getting called into camp. Sometimes Bruce would still call them into camp, but I will say Jurgen was really good at that. Greg Berhalter is really good with that right now. I mean, Ellis is only calling players in because they have a name, and that's it. I'm amazed that Jessica McDonald got called in. Truly, I am, because she doesn't quite have that name, but, I mean, she'll probably be a bench warmer because Jill doesn't know how to play good players the right way. But, I mean, Morgan Bryan, I think leaving the Dash was one of her big mistakes. When she tried going over to, she went to Lyon or PSG.
Lyon and didn't do anything.
Yeah, she didn't do anything. And then she came back to the league and she just kind of was like, meh.
Yeah, like, all right, I'm just going to get my money and do what I'm going to do here. I think you might have to have some big-time performances from your goalkeepers and your defenders if you're getting whooped at some point. You know, overall, though, like you said, Rachel, Jill kind of has the players she trusts at this point, and we'll see if that winds up. Well, apparently, I lost both of them here. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my computer.
Gotta love your computer sometimes.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I don't know. If I get some miracle from the universe and I get money to upgrade the thing, that would be fantastic.
Well, either way, we still got to actually get to the World Cup, see who gets there, right? Because things can happen in friendlies, and things can happen even at the World Cup itself. And you might have to have players by force get switched out, and maybe Jill has to make some of these tough decisions that she didn't make right now. I mean, not saying that she didn't put any thought to it, because we're not her. We can't really say that, per se, but it seems like she went with the ones that she feels the most comfortable with right now, and it's up to them to prove her either right or wrong when we get to that point. But yeah, I guess we'll see if there's any surprises at all when 1 p.m. hits tomorrow, but I don't think so.
Yeah, and a lot of times not getting out of your comfort zone is what could potentially cost you a job. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, whether they win or lose, I don't know, I just can't see her keep going, especially if they win, like, go out on top and start fresh with the new coach. And if they lose, like, I think that just gives her she might just step down. And I don't think I see her, like, staying on after this World Cup either way.
I hope not.
Maybe at the Olympics if, you know, she's like going another year or something, but I think past that, I don't know. But all right, let's talk some NWSL. We'll do our picks after we talk about. Let's talk about like current stuff for a little bit here, just to, you know, get through that first, and then we can sort of do our late picks for some of the big categories, and of course, who we think's gonna make to the finals and win overall here. So, Rachel, I mean, what do you think are some of the big storylines, like, through these first 3 weeks? And, obviously, the league's going to change now when you have a lot of its stars going over to be in World Cup team camps and everything. So, these, 4 weeks that we have left, or 3 or 4 weeks we have left before the World Cup starts, those teams are going to look different. It's going to be hard to judge them by then. But what do you think with mostly full rosters so far?
I think Orlando's in a huge, huge shitstorm. I mean, they have not been good this season at all. I'm so sorry, Eric, but they have been so bad this season.
I'm used to it. It's second nature now. It's just, I have no hope.
I mean,
it's not
good. I don't blame Mark Skinner. I think he's doing everything that he can. And he actually had a really good quote this week, and I'm paraphrasing here. And he said something along the lines of, you know, no coach can make that ball not go in, when he was talking about the Christian Press goal that she scored for Utah over the weekend. And he's absolutely right. I think there's a lot of ego problems on the team with Morgan, with Marta, with maybe Krieger. And I don't think so with Harris. I think Harris has been, despite all the goals that have gone by her, I think she's been pretty good this year. You can tell with the body language. Like, there was one particular instance where, you know, Morgan thought she got fouled, and she didn't even go after the ball. And when Mark Skinner is in the huddle, you know, she's got her back turned to him. Like, there's a lot of issues, a lot of ego issues. I think Utah's had a really good start to the season. Sky Blue doesn't look horrible, which is good. I think they're the team that's pretty much going to be least affected by the World Cup. Boo-hoo, they're missing Carly Lloyd. They're going to cry themselves a river. I saw today that they're going to be missing Estelle Johnson, because I guess she's going to play with Cameroon. I didn't know that was a thing, but here we are. I think Portland's going to be the most screwed with the World Cup. I mean, they have all of their stars are going to be gone. And I don't know if they have the depth.
Yeah, thankfully for them, there is that little bit of a break. So depending on what happens with some of those teams, they might get some of those stars back. Eric, I mean, this is your quote-unquote team, Orlando. I think, to be fair, they have played four really tough teams to start the season. I mean, you're playing the champs. You're playing Portland, who has all these stars. Yes, technically the Rain are without Megan Rapinoe, and that's the game you drew. And then Utah has been doing Utah, where they play stingy defense and they win 1-0. But, you know, is there something to be said for that, the teams you're playing?
Well, I get that when you always have tough competition, like you laid out that four games, I'm thinking, okay, 4 or 5 points, one win, I wouldn't have been too bad. It's like, all right, a rough start. There's still a huge chunk of the season left, but there's a difference between not winning and not trying and not being competitive. When you've got 4 or 5 players on that team that are trying to just play hero ball, not even because they feel they have to, but just because they want to help themselves, maybe because they're trying to get out of there, maybe getting a better deals, I don't know. But if you're going to be that disjointed, no matter who you play, it could have been Sky Blue or whatever, you're not going to get results. And with this, okay, maybe an easier stretch, pick up a win, get off that schneid, but I doubt that that's really going to work. I don't want to call the season lost, but if this goes another 2-3 matches like this, it will be.
I feel like Orlando is going to be better when those egos are gone. Like, I feel like they need to, like Mark Skinner, I feel like he's not afraid to bench players, but I also feel like he is. But I feel like when Morgan and Marta and them are gone for a little bit, it might be a little bit more smooth sailing.
It'll give him some breathing room, I'm not going to lie. And then after that break, when they come back, we'll see how he really is. Because if they're already winning, and if they're picking up good momentum playing as a team, he'll want to fix that and keep that.
What you were, both of you guys were talking about here, that's kind of important during this stretch where they're not going to have the stars. If the players that are remaining come together and play well, you bring the egos back in. How do you bring that back into a team atmosphere? Especially, like, you know, let's say the U.S. does well and Brazil doesn't, or Brazil does well and the U.S. doesn't. Does that cause a clash, you know, with some of the players or whatever, depending on, you know, what happens in that World Cup? Because that matters at certain points. Obviously, they're also going to be a break, I'd imagine, for these players as well. They may not come right back. But that's something to certainly see for all these teams. What happens to them when you have this period where the stars are gone? Do these teams keep going the way they have been, or do they start showing some rough patches and you start seeing maybe some of the lower teams like a Rain or Sky Blue or something, or Houston, rise up a little bit where they might not have been had this not been a World Cup year?
I mean, that measure of bragging rights is always going to be something. It's a matter of, can you keep it in check? How long you can keep it in check? If your ego is all this, and depending on whoever wins the tournament, that could be a bit of an issue. And then from there, it's up to the rest of the team and the coaches to say, hey, great job doing this and that, but now you're back here kind of making your bread and butter. Hey, we've got another goal to accomplish. And I would flat out say, you won one trophy, let's go and get you a second.
I mean, with all that being said, Ashwin Harris does lead the league in saves, even though 8 goals have crossed Orlando's path so far to only putting 2 in the net on the other end. So that's
I'm used to statistics like that. It At least it's not as bad as when I was watching hockey back in the day, but I've got this overwhelming sense of familiarity when I hear this.
Iron Rachel, let's look at the team that's leading the league right now and obviously had a great year last season, North Carolina. You mentioned Crystal Dunwoody has 4 goals. We got Lynn Williams is leading the league and well, tied for assists. I mean, North Carolina's kind of, they drew with Chicago to start the season, which, you know, Chicago's one of the tougher teams in the entire league, but then they've been doing the business after that.
Yeah, and I mean, it sucks that McCall Zerboni isn't going to the World Cup, but her staying with North Carolina, I think that, I was thinking for a while, Houston is probably the team that has the most stacked roster because they're not losing any U.S. players. They're losing a few Canadians and, oh, who else? I think there's a couple English players. Oh, yeah, Rachel Daly's going. But, like, they have Kelia Ojai, Christy Buis. But now that you have McCall Zerboni back, you got McCall Zerboni, Lynn Williams, Merritt Mathias. Caitlin Rowland's going to be healthy by the time Steph LeBay goes with Canada. I mean, it is just a stacked roster. And there is no way that anybody is beating North Carolina. And their rookie, Leah Pruitt, has been doing pretty well, too.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, they have more goals than Orlando has put past them at this point. They put 5 on Orlando and 4 on Houston, and they had the 1 against Chicago. This is what, when we make our picks, it makes it really hard for me not to see them repeat because it's just amazing that even though Crystal, you know, Rachel's the one that always says it. Crystal Dunn's a forward. Stop putting her a defender. Well, Crystal Dunn goes out and tells Jill, well, hey, you don't put me a forward, but I'm over here scoring goals. So what you think about that?
And I mean, this is going to set up another period or another season, as I expected, of regular season dominance. I don't deny it at all. This team is built for that. They fire on cylinders, and when things go right, they will score at will. I feel that there could be at least 3 or 4 more 4-0s, 5-0 results left in this team before we get to the playoffs. But is North Carolina in the playoffs? Yes, they've gotten it together, but at the same time, they've also struggled. So going through this run, they're going to cool down a bit, but catch right back on fire. I am teasing my pick. They're going to have success, not as much as, well, some people would think, though.
That's fair enough. It is hard to be able to be consistently just like they were last year again for another entire season. That's not an easy feat. So that's, and there's always injuries that could happen as well that can really hurt your team. Rachel, I mean, what's another team do you think has really stood out to you that you go, all right, at the end of the season, I think they're gonna, they get in the playoffs, they could make some surprising noise?
Utah, baby. I'm all about Utah. I wanted them to do better last year, and they didn't, but I'm all about them this year, and I really want them to go far this year. They've only played 2 games. I know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but, like, oh, man, I want them to do well.
Yeah, it's kind of stinks that we're having to have the changes for the World Cup because they have a big game against Chicago on Friday that would really be able to let you know kind of where they stand. Because, I mean, they played Washington, Orlando. Yes, they didn't score, but they also didn't let in any goals either. So, you know, that's, at least they're keeping the clean sheets. That means a lot when you come in for playoff positioning and all that stuff. I think Utah is a team to look out for too. But you guys both have a lot of faith in, I'm not going to, I'm going to tease picks for both of you. You guys have a lot of faith in Chicago. Why do you? What's making you go, Chicago? That's my team that I'm really looking at to do a lot this year.
They have good depth. I mean, they're going to be missing out on Kerr, but Danielle Colaprico is not making the U.S. roster. Vanessa DiBernardo has been doing really well. Michelle Vasconcelos has been doing really well. I think they're deep, and they have a really good backup goalkeeper in Emily Boyd. They have the depth to do well, and I think that they are going to do well. I think Aaron Wright is a good defender. That midfield is pretty crowded with all the backups. Losing Kerr for a long time, because I assume Australia is going to go far in the World Cup, is going to suck, but I mean, they have the depth to make something special happen.
I mean, for me, it's the same. This used to be a Chicago team to where you could easily recognize and spot one or two of the top players. You know, Julie Ertz, Sam Kerr, all that. But now they've just decided, okay, we need more. We need solidification. They went out and they got that depth, and I'm pretty sure they got that depth because they knew this was going to be a World Cup year and to set themselves up going forward. So it's like, how can you really bet against them to where you're seeing new weapons coming out every week or two?
Yeah, no, for sure. And when you have that depth, that allows you to do a lot of things. See North Carolina be able to take advantage of their depth to do what they do. And that's what seems like all of us are kind of having this thought of, they're going to be the 1 and 2 teams battling it out throughout the season. But like, there's another team that's sort of been, you know, for these past few seasons hovering around in Portland. You know, we know they draw a crowd and all that as well, which helps them on that end. Rachel, you kind of see them dropping a bit this season.
Orlando or?
Or Portland.
Portland? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they are going to... They're going to be screwed when the World Cup comes. You're missing Horan, Heath, Sonnet, Sinclair, more than likely. There's a couple other Canadians on that team. Either way, I mean, France, now that they're missing their goalkeeper...
Sorry. That's my bad.
But I don't think they're a team that has depth, which hurts me to say because Angela Salem's on their team and she's one of my favorite players, but just all around, I don't know if they have that depth to replace somebody like Sinclair and Tobin Heath. I don't know about that.
Eric, what's the team do you think is going to be, you know, we kind of all seem to be in agreement that Orlando might be that last place team, but what's another team that you go, I think they might drop some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at my selections for the bottom third. Of course, I have Orlando last, but the teams that I look at are mainly, yes, Portland, even though I think they are going to make a bit of a run simply because they're going to get a boost after that schedule. But I'm seeing teams like Reign FC and particularly Houston. There's a lot that, okay, I think is going to be great early in the season. But especially when you come back from the World Cup, they're going to be one of those teams that they're going to be figured out just a little bit more. And when you have, like, your North Carolina, your Utah, your Chicago, what have you, they're going to be the ones setting up the blueprints, using their talent to really say, hey, you can grind this team down, or you can make these passes here, you can get these good matchups. So it's like, as sad as it is, I'm like, I don't have a whole bunch of faith in them.
Yeah, I can see that. Certainly, I think another team that probably not something that Rachel wants to hear, but Washington could be towards that bottom again. Sadly, as they have some exciting players, but I feel like the league is still sort of top heavy for those top four spots, at least.
Makes me feel bad for Ashley Hatch.
Yeah, Mallory Pugh. So, well, let's start going through
the... She got that endorsement deal like I suggested when she first signed, but no, that never came to be.
It could still happen, Eric, maybe.
The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away.
Well, maybe they'll surprise you on that one. Let's go through some individual stuff before we get into, like, playoff teams and finals and, you know, the team stuff. So, you know, Rachel, Eric, and I kind of didn't feel like knowing the league enough to pick a rookie of the year. Who do you think is going to be a player to watch that you go, I'm confident, rookie of the year?
I think it's Bethany Balser of the Reign FC. She's a very interesting character because she came from an NAIA school. She didn't come from the NCAA ranks. I mean, Vlatko Andowski, their head coach, I mean, he does his research on players. And she just played her first 90-minute game. She's already scored. And she's a pretty good talent. I think with Rapinoe gone, I think she'll be up there a lot more. Because for a while I was thinking, oh, it's going to be Shea Groom, Bev Yanez, Jasmine Spencer up as the top three. But with Jasmine Spencer tearing her ACL, now it's Bethany Balser. So I think she's going to get a lot more minutes than Leah Pruitt. So, yeah.
Well, there you heard it. Bethany Balser going to be the rookie of the year, according to Rachel. Another category that was kind of rough for me and Eric to choose from, but because you know the league a lot more, defender of the year, Rachel.
I think Abby Ersic's going to repeat. I think she's just too good. And if it's not her, I really think it's going to be Merritt Mathias.
Well, Eric, the male ladies going to get at least one. So what did you finally decide on that? Well, what is the nickname that you're giving the New Zealand women's team?
I don't know, because I want to be respectful. Of course I do. But, see, the whole punch is it's got to be two syllables. Two syllables works. If you make a three-syllable chant, you have to up the pitch on that last syllable, and it doesn't have that same oomph. You can't resonate that for 90 minutes. I don't know. I think I got to go to Twitter on this one. At Squid Sports Head, or... at Rachel McCrieger, at WM2M Sean. Go to all three of us. Help me out on this one. I need to have a chant ready to go, because I'm going to be using it.
I do miss that mailman chant.
I'm tempted. Okay. I know this is borderline sacrilege, and I'm the first one saying this, but I'm tempted to start using that for the New Zealand rugby team. But that's because the U.S. Sevens is still winning the Sevens World Series right now. So it's like, if you hear me using that in a couple of weeks, you'll know why. I'm probably never going to do it again, but now would be the time.
Fair enough. Let's hope for Abby Ersic and the rest of New Zealand that they, you know, do decently at least. Let's go on to goalkeeper of the year, which all three of us picked the same player, Rachel.
Good old Jane. I love her penalty kick saves. I just think that since she's going to get more minutes, she's going to do a lot more. And I mean, Houston's defense has already given up 3 penalty kicks this year. So gosh, at that rate, we're in week 4. Imagine how many more kicks they're going to give up. So, and I mean, Jane has been top notch on them, so I think during the World Cup time she's going to try to give Jill Ellis a big middle finger.
Do you think Jane could be heard, let's say Houston doesn't perform well on the field. Like, usually you don't see bad teams get bad team players get individual awards. So you think that that could hurt her at all, where they go with another goalkeeper because that team did better?
Well, boy, I hope Houston actually proves me wrong. If there's a team I want to prove me wrong on the standings, it's Houston. So I want them to win games. I want them to make it to the playoffs. I hope they prove me wrong. But, I mean, yeah, maybe. But at the same time, and I think a lot of it still is a popularity contest. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's what makes these individual awards tough sometimes. When you got to make the tough choices, popularity does come down to it, even if you don't want to admit it, even for journalists at times. So, coach of the year. Obviously, this does have to do a lot with how you think the team's going to perform. You're usually not going to get a middling team or whatever win coach of the year. This team's got to go above and beyond, usually. And you and Eric have the same coach. I have a different one. Why Laura Harvey, Rachel?
I just think Utah is going to have a really good year this year, and I just think Laura Harvey is one of the best coaches in the NWSL, and she knows how to build a roster.
No doubt that Utah roster is really good. Eric, anything else that makes you choose Laura at all?
I mean, with the fact that how Utah started and how they progressed so quickly, yes, you have to have a good roster. Yes, you have to have talent, but she's the one that has to be able to get the most out of that talent, squeeze every last drop. And I think this year is really going to be a banner year for her and Utah, and she's going to earn it.
And the funny thing about it, too, is Eric had mentioned the rise that they have. This isn't a situation like Paul Riley with the Western New York Flash, where he was coach there, and then the Western New York Flash turned into the North Carolina Courage, and he was still named the Courage coach. So essentially, he was with the same team still. Laura and Vlatko Andovsky did a switcheroo, with Vlatko going to the Reign, which was Laura's old team, and Laura going to Vlatko's old team, aka FC Kansas City, which is the Utah Royals. So, I mean, you know, she was jumping in head first with a new team and everything. It's not like Paul Riley's situation where, oh, he already had his players.
Yeah, that's true. And when Utah got to have some terrific talent go in that first year that they were brought into the league. So that helps a lot as well. On my end, I think Chicago's going to do really, really well this year. And I think, even though for me, I see North Carolina doing a lot of the same as last year, I think because it's sort of expected with North Carolina, they're going to want to go with a different team for like a coach of the year. So because of all the talent that Chicago has, they've already been putting in the goals. I mean, they had a thriller with Portland 4-4 already early in the season. And even though, yes, Sam Kerr could be gone for a while, I think the team has enough talent that they could do okay, and that's only a certain part of the season. You still got to come back when she does, and they can rally enough to get in the playoffs, then you never know after that. So if they could do awesome without their best player, I think that even says more for the chance for Rory Dames to get that coach of the year. And let's go with, speaking of scoring goals, Golden Boot. With Sam Kerr winning it the last two seasons, you guys kind of see it staying with her for let's go with a three-peat.
It won't be as wide open as it has been, but I think Sam's still going to be unstoppable. I don't see that train slowing down.
She's too good.
I know it's kind of cheating because she has a lead right now, but I honestly feel like Crystal Dunn has motivation to show that, hey, you know, I can play forward for the the national team, Jill. And I think she might have to get put in emergency situations to play that forward position in the World Cup. And maybe she scores a couple goals, keeps that form going, and you see her do it throughout the season when she comes back as well. I'm going to give the nod to Crystal Dunn to keep being consistent throughout the year and wind up winning the Golden Boot. I mean, I know Rachel's going to be, it would be good for her because she can help give a middle finger to that, to Miss Jill over there.
Anytime I can give a middle finger to Jill is a good day.
I love it that Rachel's just always consistent with the Jill hate. So if you're a Jill lover, I'm sure you hate us by now. So it's fine. I can't imagine that people that love Jill want to listen to us hate on Jill for the whole podcast, but I appreciate it if you do. And
hey, you may hate us, but you'll love what we say next.
Exactly. So I think the only things left are the big four sort of situation here. So I guess we got to go with putting the teams in order first before we go giving out the big awards. Rachel, what is your order of final ranking for leave out, I guess, who you think is going to be the champion, but I guess you'll have to give away your Shield winner and all that too for this.
North Carolina, Utah, Chicago, Reign FC, Washington Spirit in fifth, missing the playoffs since only four teams go. Portland, Sky Blue. I realized I didn't put Houston down. Let's put Houston before Portland. So Washington, Houston, Portland, Sky Blue, and then, sorry, Eric, but Orlando.
No, don't be. I don't be.
So you think North Carolina is going to win? Well, all of us have North Carolina winning the Shield.
Yep.
What do you think? Why do you say North Carolina over some of the other teams to be the team with the most points at the end of the season?
Depth.
Deepest team in the league, then, for you?
Sweet, to the point. Depth.
Anything else on that, Eric?
I mean, they've done it before. They've shown that they've still set the bar so high. Now that they are really one of the two deepest teams in the league, they're not going to be quick to let that go so quickly.
The editor in me is like saying he said quickly like twice in the same sentence. No, but like honestly, I don't know how it, barring like major injuries, which can obviously happen and decimate your team and whatever. But like, you look at that starting 11, and you go, who's gonna beat them? You know, and then even then you go past that. And it's like you could literally replace three or four or five of those players with someone else and they'll be just fine. It's really difficult to see that not panning out throughout an entire season. And so far they're proving that that's not going to be any different. So that's why I'm going to have a different ultimate champion than Eric and Rachel, because it's hard for me to see that not pan out when it comes to the playoffs as well. But Eric, what's your order?
Oh, I start with my wooden spoon winners, Orlando. Probably in, well, I can't call it an epic collapse because of the way that they've started this season, but an epic season of going nowhere. Sky Blue right above them. Houston in seventh. Reign FC. Washington. I've got Portland sneaking into the playoffs. I think with its schedule, even though it's front-loaded away, when they get home, when they get their stars back, I've seen it before, they're going to have a huge boost in extra energy from the fans. They'll carry that through. And then 3-2-1, Utah, Chicago, and of course, North Carolina winning the Shield.
Yeah, I'm gonna be similar here. You got Orlando last, so if Orlando comes in last, that'll be probably one of the few times that we've all picked the same team and whatever we picked actually happens. The Sky Blue, Houston, Washington, Reign FC, barely missing the playoffs, and I've got Utah barely making it in. I think Portland with, yes, they're going to be missing a large part of their roster when the World Cup is on, but they've got a lot of stars. They've shown they can score goals, and that matters. At the end of the day, is being able to score those goals when you need them. Chicago in second, and North Carolina wins the Shield. For me, too, MVP, we all have the same MVP, Yuki Nagasato from the Chicago Red Stars. Why, Rachel?
She's not going to the World Cup with Japan. She's been retired with Japan since 16, I think. And so, I mean, she is on fire. Age does not define her. She just won Player of the Week. I think she was one of the nominations, or she was like the runner-up or something for Player of the Month. She is just so good, and she's going to absolutely control that midfield for Chicago.
I think also what shows is that it's, you know, she controls the midfield, she puts in the assists, and she scores goals. She scored the tying goal when it mattered most for Chicago. I think that's what kind of sets you apart as an MVP, is how much do you mean to that team? You take her away. Yes, Sam Querrey means a lot, but when you talk about your number 10, per se, your heart and soul, Yuki Nagasato is going to be that for Chicago, and especially if she continues to do that while a lot of those stars are gone at the World Cup.
There would be no Sam Kergles without Yuki.
No, and that's why she really takes the pressure off Sam Kerr. You now have much less of a worry in that middle third because, you know, Nagasato, she's going to be there. She's going to set Kerr up on a plate. Job done.
All right. You got to make the big decision here. Who makes your final and who wins it all? Rachel?
Utah Royals FC versus North Carolina Courage. I think my choice might differ if there's rumors that the final will be held in North Carolina. I still want to pick Utah. I really want them to win. I really do. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if North Carolina won, but I really want Utah to win.
Hey, they say defense wins championships. Utah has a really, really good one. Could happen. Eric, you went a little bit of a different direction. What do you say?
I really did, because while North Carolina is very high-flying, I think that it'll be good enough to win the Shield, but I think really they're going to go out in a crash, losing in the semifinal. I don't even have them making the final. Now, with a Utah, especially if it winds up North Carolina-Utah is at 1-4, I really lean towards Utah because of that stingy, stingy defense. And they're going to be able to wear North Carolina down. But there's another high-powered, very deep team waiting, and that's Chicago. I've got Utah and Chicago meeting in the finals with the Red Stars prevailing.
I went chalk. I know that's kind of boring. But the two best teams should meet in the final. And for me, I think that's going to be North Carolina Courage and the Chicago Red Stars. And I think you're going to have North Carolina do it again and win the championship. Especially if it winds up being in North Carolina, I think that's going to be difficult for them not to win it there. Certainly Chicago has the team to go up against them. We've already seen it once this year. And I hope we get to see it again in the final, and it's a good final. But I think North Carolina is going to take it all at the end of the day. So there you go, three different champions for us. So one out of three ain't bad. Somebody's got to get this, right? Watch Portland win and we all look bad. So there's our picks. What, you know, if you're an NWSL watcher at all, what do you think? Who's going to win for you? Who's winning some of these awards? Let us know either in the comments of wherever this is posted, whether it's WTMNet or Last Word on Soccer or YouTube or wherever. Or, you know, you can hit us up on Twitter with if you disagree with some of our picks. You know, at Squid Sportshead, at Rachel McCrigger, at WTMSean. We're all there, and we'll answer whatever it is that you feel like letting us know. Even if you want to let us know that we hated on Jill way too much, which I will say, it's never enough.
Never.
So, yeah, don't forget, U.S. Women's National Team reveal. I just said team twice. I looked terrible. And, yeah, man, that World Cup is not very far. The Under-20 World Cup is actually even closer, so that's going to be fun to see what Team USA does for the men on that side. Interesting that Mexico is not getting to use one Jonathan Gonzalez, who made the one-time switch and made a big deal about wanting to be in that tournament, and now he's not going to be. I wonder if he would have been there for the U.S. Questions. But, yeah, we'll talk more about that on our normal day, I think, on Monday night, which will include MLS talk and what's happening with NWSL now that the stars are leaving for their team camps for the World Cup. What do those teams look like? Who's playing well? We'll have all that along with whatever else is going on in the American side of soccer. If you like what you heard, you can always hit subscribe, Soccer to the Max, whether you're listening to it on Last Word Radio or Last Word on Soccer or W2M or the W2M Network. We appreciate it. Thank you. Whether you're watching on or listening on YouTube, we don't have the video for that. Maybe one of these days. And hey, wherever it is you hear us, thank you. We appreciate it. And be sure to join us pretty soon again for another show. And until then, see you later, everybody.
Peace!
Bye.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco-free.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.